Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, in case you're wondering, no, this is a live show. It is January the 2nd. It is Tuesday. It is the first live show of 2024. And Butters is on the board. Hey, man, how you doing? We're going to hope the whole year has a whoop-whoop attached to it.
Sorry, just kind of seemed appropriate for the beginning of the new year.
I'm for it. By the way, I'm not going to miss 2023. I don't know about you, but in my opinion, 2023 can just take a hike. I'm done with you.
Yeah. I'm seeing that we're on a political talk show, I probably should say 2024 is probably going to be a train wreck.
Oh, it's going to have its days.
But plenty to talk about. I guess there's the positive spin on it.
Target-rich environment. It's going to be full. But at the same time, I have nothing but optimism for the way forward because 2023 is over with.
Well, I hope you got enough optimism for the rest of us.
I got plenty. I'm a pragmatic optimist. The glass is half full. All right, hey, but no scheduled callers today because I had so much stuff. So we're gonna move forward with a triple dipper bar none. So hit it, buddy.
The triple dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, we're going to talk about it a little bit, thinking back and looking forward. So last week, we had a bunch of callers. If you remember on Friday afternoon, going into the New Year weekend, we had like one caller after another. We had Congressman Gary Palmer. We had Stephanie Smith from the Policy Institute. We had, you know, Dale Jackson, Todd Stacey, Jeff Poor. And we just kind of went down the line. What were the biggest stories? What did you think? Well, let's go ahead and think back a little bit more on 2023, but then we're going to spend more time looking forward. What do we need to see happen? What are the news breaks that we see coming? Where is this all going? I got some speculations, some postulations, some ruminations, and yeah, I'm sure y'all do too. Text lines will be open, 833-687-4448. But that's the first part of the Triple Dipper, thinking back and looking forward. And then number two is one that I didn't get to Thursday. I didn't get to it Friday. And then even more stuff happened over the weekend. So I am going to do it today. It's going to happen. I'm calling it B-grade activism. Have you noticed by now that the left, or for that matter, anything that's not on the right, just seems to always have this kind of violent, destructive way of demonstrating their feelings? And yet, that's what I would call B-grade activism. That's low life. That is, there's no value in it. You're not swaying anybody's opinion. You're just acting out because you can. B-grade activism. We'll talk about it in great detail, including some things that happened over the weekend. And then number three, man, as the numbers roll in, it ain't good. It's an invasion at the southern border. Absolute invasion. And that's the name of this dipper is the invasion. This is so far beyond just a border crisis where we got to, you know, stop the gaps. No, this is a friggin' invasion at this point. And so we're going to talk about that in great detail, including some of the more recent numbers and some of the ways forward. And oh, by the way, is there anybody going to be held accountable? Why is no one asking Biden the hard questions? Invasion. That's number three on the triple dipper. All right, let me jump into my opening monologue, the first one of the year. And I'll remind you guys, Southern Immediate Care is the sponsor of the Daily Right Side Way monologue. And we're proud to have them on board. They are a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of area in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six locations around the Birmingham area, and more on the way. And they are open 7 days a week, and if you need them, they're there. Southern Immediate Care, and they are owned by a Right Side ruffian, by the way. Check them out. Southern Immediate Care, sponsor of the Right Side Way. Okay, so here we go, and I'm going to bet that a lot of you watched a lot of football over the past few days. I mean, there were bowl games galore, and some of them were in the Final Four for the run-up to the college football championship game. And there were fans who were ecstatic, and there were those who get to wait till next year. And on every one of those fields, there were kids that were there just playing their hearts out. Well, I mean, at least most of them. For the first time that I can remember, there was a rash of what many refer to as opt-outs. Opt-outs. Players who decided it was just too risky to play a postseason game with their team because they might risk an injury that would hurt their chances in the upcoming NFL draft. Now, on the one hand, I get it. They want the chance to play for millions of dollars in the National Football League. It could be generational wealth for them. But on the other, it seems like their teams were left hanging while they took care of themselves. So let me ask you this. Whatever happened to riding for the brand? What happened to putting your team above yourself? In the age of kids getting frustrated and entering the transfer portal or getting paid big money in their teens for the use of their name, image, and likeness, and now opting out to take care of number one, I have to ask the question, have we just helped build a generation of self-centered, overly entitled sissies? I mean, not a popular thing to say, I'm sure. But in 2024, the college football playoffs are expanding to 12 teams. And one major bowl game executive recently asked the question, what if they threw the biggest national championship party, but the best players didn't show up? Well, it started back in 2016 when two of the nation's top running backs, Leonard Fournette from LSU and Christian McCaffrey from Stanford, they caused a stir by deciding to skip their postseason bowl games. They were expected to be early in the draft for the NFL a few months later, and the thought was that the chance to earn generational wealth for them was just too much to risk. Well, since then, it's become more and more common. Now, think about the irony here. When Florida State was told, and it made everybody mad on the Florida State side, when Florida State was told a few weeks ago that they were not selected for the national championship playoff games because they had lost their star quarterback to an injury. And yet, Florida State also had multiple opt-outs. The Seminoles played without their top two quarterbacks, their top two running backs, their top two receivers, their starting tight end, three starting defensive linemen, two of the three starting linebackers, and three starting defensive backs. They were down 29 scholarship players in all for their bowl game the other night. And yes, they were routed 63-3 by Georgia. But afterward, Georgia head coach Kirby Smart said, "People need to see what happened tonight, and they need to fix this." And he went on to say, "It needs to be fixed. It's very unfortunate they have a good football team and a good football program and they're in the position that they're in." But y'all, it was everywhere as top players told their teams that their own personal safety and their own well-being was more important than the team experiencing victory. "I got mine. You get yours. Good luck, fellas." But let me drop back a second here and talk a little history. You see, there was a time in the not-so-distant past when the team that you were on meant more than anything. Stories like Rudy Rudiger getting to dress out for just one home game for the Fighting Irish and Notre Dame. Young kids who grew up dreaming of playing for Bear Bryant. Hallowed opportunities to play on the big fields like the Rose Bowl, the Superdome, and that one extra bowl game. Those were big deals, and kids everywhere could tell those stories while they traded their sports cards and wore their favorite team jerseys. See, football was that place where you learned the value of being an integral part of the team. And even when you were hurt, you begged to play because you didn't want to let your team down. And sometimes, even when opportunity was knocking, you just knew that the thing you really wanted to do was just play one more game with your team. Like football legend Peyton Manning. Coming from a football family, Peyton Manning played for the University of Tennessee. In his 1996 junior season, Manning led the SEC with 243 pass completions and a 64% completion rate. In the Citrus Bowl alone in 96, playing against Northwestern, Manning threw for 408 yards and four touchdowns in that one game. By the end of the season, Peyton Manning was a top contender for the Heisman Trophy. He was predicted to be a first-round draft pick for the NFL, for which the timing was just right because 3 years in, he'd also finished his degree. So he could leave Tennessee as a junior at the top of his game and with his diploma. And everybody expected him to leave Tennessee and go pro. And in January of 97, Peyton Manning asked for a press conference. So wearing a coat and tie and working with notes that he had prepared in advance, Manning talked about how he had sought wise counsel, he had prayed over it, and he really wrestled with what to do. And he made it clear that it was a decision he did not take lightly. He talked about how much college football and his teammates have meant to him. And then he said that he'd made up his mind and he would never look back. And he said, "I'm going to stay at the University of Tennessee." And the crowd went wild. I mean, with everything to lose, Peyton Manning decided to return to his college team for his senior year despite the fact that he risked injury, that he would make no money from selling his name, image, and likeness, and with no thought of entering a transfer portal to get up to a bigger school. In his senior year, his team rallied with him, and they went 10-1. They beat Auburn for the SEC championship. They came one game shy of finishing as the number one team in the nation. And Manning was named as a first-team All-American, covered up with awards. He was second place overall for the Heisman Trophy. He blew away his stats from the year before. He finished with nearly 4,000 yards passing for 36 touchdowns. He was a first-round draft pick, and he went on to become one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history with 14 Pro Bowl appearances, 5 times being named the NFL Most Valuable Player. He played in 4 Super Bowls, won 2 of them. And 7 years after he finished his senior year at Tennessee, the university retired his number, and one of the streets leading up to Tennessee's Neyland Stadium was named after him. Funny how all that worked out. Just the idea of being with his team was all that it took for one of the greatest players in football history to stay on. He could have left. Nobody would have faulted him. But he loved his team. He didn't always think of himself. And his team played their hearts out for him because of it. Y'all, we need more people who are willing to risk it all for the bigger picture. More people who are able to say, this is about more than just me. See, opt-outs are cop-outs, in my opinion, and I agree with Coach Kirby Smart. We got to fix this. And it starts by instilling in our young men the idea that being a part of something still means something. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. I thought Peyton Manning was the most incredible story. I mean, even back then in 97, nobody would have questioned if he had left in his junior year, at the end of his junior year, to go play pro. And he probably would have done great. But I think he was greater because of that extra year of maturing as a player and as a team member. And his team and the fans, they all saw it. They saw the loyalty, and they rallied around him. And as a result, they've gone so far as to name streets after him. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.